There's the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'd encourage you, if you want to be part of this class, if it's possible for you to do so, to get your Bibles and turn it to the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. We're actually studying a Sunday school lesson from Ezra chapter 1, but I'm going to begin in just a moment reading a passage from Ezra chapter 9. It'll be Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, where we read about some of the sins of Israel that Nehemiah was praying about. I promised I'd do that in the last class, and we'll do that in just a moment. So while you're turning to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying the Sunday school lessons that were written for the Sundays of 1922 by E. A. Elam, and this is the 102nd class period of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you about some of the sins of Israel that Nehemiah was saying his prayer over. We've been studying this prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1, but here he refers to their sins. Let me read to them. I've read to you about the sins that are mentioned in Nehemiah 5, 1 through 13. I read Ezra 9, 1 through 4. I did tell you to turn there. What I should have told you to do is to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And I'm going to read 14 through 16. That is just before the book of Ezra. So here we are. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verses 14 through 16. Moreover, all the chiefs of the priests and of the people trespassed very greatly after all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of Jehovah which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And Jehovah their God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of Jehovah rose against his people, until there was no remedy. Here was the problem with the children of Israel after their return from captivity. They had sinned in violating the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances, God's moral precepts, and also all the laws he had enacted, and all the religious rites and ceremonies. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 8, we read, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, If ye trespass, I will scatter ye abroad among the peoples. But if ye return unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though your outcasts were in the uttermost parts of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen, to cause my name to dwell there." Here's Elam's notes on those two verses in Nehemiah 1, 8, and 9. God was not blamed with the condition of the Jews. Nehemiah confessed that he had trespassed, that they had trespassed, and were suffering the recompense of reward, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. And as we have seen in the comment on verse 5, this is not so much a direct quotation as it is the reference to many passages stating that same truth. And you may want to refer to Leviticus 26, 27 through 39, or Deuteronomy chapter 28. to Nehemiah, there was a bright side. For God had made also the promise, if ye return unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts were in the uttermost parts of the heavens, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them to the place that I have chosen to cause my name to dwell there. This is a quotation from Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 5, and from Leviticus chapter 26, 40 through 45. Let me read to you that from Deuteronomy chapter 30. And Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether Jehovah thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto Jehovah thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then Jehovah thy God will turn the captivity and have compassion upon thee. And I will return and gather thee from all the peoples whither Jehovah thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine outcasts be in the uttermost parts of the heavens, from thence will Jehovah thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And Jehovah thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers." Also, let me read from that reference in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 40 through 45. "And they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, and their trespass, which they trespass against me, and also that because they walked contrary to me, I also walked contrary to them, and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised heart be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left by them, and it shall enjoy its Sabbaths while it lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they rejected mine ordinances and their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them, neither will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them. For I am Jehovah their God, but I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am Jehovah." So back to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And let me read verses 10 and 11. "Now these are thy servants," Nehemiah prayed, "and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who delight to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servants this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Here's Elam's notes. Nehemiah pleaded the fact that he was praying for God's people embraced in the promises quoted in verse 9. "Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong arm. God hath redeemed them from Egypt, from their enemies in the days of the judges, and their enemies in the days of the kings, and he could restore them still. It is not wrong to claim the promise we have compiled with the conditions upon which it is made. In fact, we know that we will receive the promise because we have faith, by faith compiled with the conditions." Again, Nehemiah sought God to hear him and grant him mercy in the sight of Artaxerxes, because he and other servants of God delighted to fear God's name. God answered Nehemiah's prayer. And we have seen he found favor in the eyes of the king and obtained his request to visit Jerusalem and aid his people. God answered Nehemiah's prayer at the time when it was best to do so. Nehemiah prayed and waited. Let us serve on, pray on, hope on, and God will bless in mercy and love as he sees fit. Now with those words, close the Sunday school lesson from August the 27th, 1922. And I turn the page, and I see that the next Sunday of 1922 was September 3rd. And the lesson title for the Sunday school of September 3rd is that Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. The text we're going to study in detail is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. But before we get there, I want to read a little bit from the book of Nehemiah because it is so interesting. You see, Nehemiah obtained the favor of King Artaxerxes, and he sent him to Jerusalem with the understanding that he was going to work to rebuild those walls. And when Nehemiah arrived at Jerusalem, he didn't tell everyone what he was going to do. And at night, he got up and rode around Jerusalem in the darkness to survey the work that lay before him. And we read about this night ride of Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. And beginning in verse 11, Nehemiah writes, "So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night in the valley gate, even toward the jackal's well and to the dung gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said to them, you see the evil case that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God that was good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." Let me read that again. They said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard of it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Then answered I said to them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us, for we, his servants, will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor memorial in Jerusalem." And then we turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'll begin reading. I'll read a little bit, but our time is growing short. But I'll refer to this back at the next class. But Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1 begins to talk about some of the opposition they received. "It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish, seeing they are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they are building, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall.' Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn back the reproach on their own head, and give them up for a spoil in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders.